Can we all take a deep, grounding breath together? Breathe in through your nose. Hold and sigh it out. That's the stuff right there. All we have to do now is sit back, relax, and listen.
I would definitely say I've dabbled in a lot of things, which is cool. I think one of the questions I saw on the piece of paper was, like, what would you recommend to young artists? And like that is what I would recommend, is just dabble with all the things, especially if you're going into school for film or photography like I did, is like don't get locked into one role and you'll be more valuable.
My guest, Lilac Milk, is a photographer, filmmaker, and musician based in Ithaca, New York. Her freelance work concentrates on making media for music artists, concert photography / videography, and music videos. Her artistic expression ranges from performed self-portraiture to songwriting and producing music. She grew up in France and later in Syracuse, New York, and graduated college in 2019 with a film, photo, and visual arts BFA from Ithaca College. She lives with her awesome musician partner, TJ Scaper, and their adorable Great Dane, Hugo. Just so you know, Lilac produced, directed, and filmed the music video for my song Winter Woods, which I'll put in the description if you want to check it out. As soon as I started this podcast, I knew I wanted to interview her, so I'm really honored that she wanted to come on. I would love to start just by throwing out the word creative process, or the phrase creative process, and see what comes to mind for you.
Hell yeah. You know, I have actually, this is why I've been so excited to talk to you, is because since you've asked me to be on the podcast a few months ago now, I've just been thinking about this, like, what does this mean? And I'm lucky that I have a lot of creative outlets. And so I don't actually have one set answer. And it just, and that is the answer, is there's never one set thing. There's stuff that I do for hire, and I kind of have a process with that, but it's still different. Like, every gig is different. And then there's stuff that I do for myself creatively. Like, I love to journal and I love to write. I've really been liking making music. And then there's stuff that's collaborative. So there's just so many different, like, I just feel like my whole life is the process, just because I don't have separation from it. You know, like, it's not like I go to a 9-to-5 and I just think about those things at that job and then I leave and then I live this other life. It's just, it's all happening all the time.
Yeah. The no separation thing is really interesting, because it can be really beautiful and inspiring, but it can also be like really tiring.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm very curious, are there, this is just a selfish question for me, like, are there routines that you found that work for you to keep you sane?
Yes and no. I think too much routine drives me crazy, and it makes me feel like I'm living this like robotic version of myself. But then I've noticed in times where I'm feeling unstable, it's because I don't have enough structure. It can't be too much. It has to be the right balance. Like, if I get up and I do 4 simple things just to let my brain know, like, okay, we're starting the day, this is what we're doing, then that tends to work. It's really simple stuff. Like, I will, you know, if I get up, I'm a snoozer. I have this horrible habit of snoozing. I'm really trying, like, I try to work out of it. I mean, it's been like years in the making, and I think it's getting better, but it is taking its sweet ass time. But so when I'm done doing that, you know, I'll get up and I'll take care of Hugo, you know, I'll feed her and I'll take her out and, you know, give her whatever else she needs. Sometimes I'll just sit and I'll journal. This is like when I need more structure, I'll take care [S2] Yeah. [S1] Of Hugo, and then I'll just sit and I'll journal, either write 3 sentences or write for 5 minutes. And then I'll meditate for 10 minutes. This is when I'm more structured, and it's been like a month, I would say, since I've been on this more strict routine, which I really need to get back to. But meditation, and then some kind of movement, like I can do yoga, you know, in this lovely backyard that I have. You know, some days I don't necessarily need to check in with myself till later. Sometimes I wake up and I'm just excited about what I need to go and edit. So I'll just, you know, wake up and hop on the computer and get going. But
yeah,
I guess it just depends on what I need.
That's so cool. Okay, yeah. How do you know? I know these are, we're going to get into all your art and all your work and everything, but I feel like we're just laying the groundwork for that right
yeah,
now. So
yeah.
How do you know what you need? Like, what does your intuition feel like?
That's a good question. I don't know. I guess it's like when it doesn't feel fearful, then that's how I know it's the right thing. And I'm like, okay, this doesn't, I don't feel stressed. I don't feel anxious about this. It just feels like flowy.
Yeah, it changes.
Yeah.
It's not the same all the time. And I think that's really like honest, and it's the same with me. Like it always is changing. Okay, I want to dive into like what you're doing, your work, the juicy stuff. Not that routine isn't juicy, but you know, it's interesting in a different way.
Yeah.
So tell me about your origin story with art.
My dad is a musician at heart. Mm. And my mom is always, she's just creative in so many ways where she could take nothing and make something, and was always doing crafts with us. And for Christmas, aww, like we were the kind of people that like we just made presents for each other, and there was less purchasing of presents, and
wow,
Secret Santa and stuff was a part of that holiday. Creativity was always encouraged, I would say. And there was, you know, usually there was always an instrument around that we could mess with. And yeah, so I don't know. I guess I always felt normal.
Ooh, cool. I was just like integrated in.
Yeah. It's just kind of like what we did, you know, and this is a different generation. But like, and also we didn't have internet most of the time because I grew up like very, very broke. And so we, you know, couldn't afford internet all the time. And you know, we just turned to the outdoors and turned to each other for fun. And when college was coming up, I was like, yeah, I'm going to go to college because it's my only ticket out of here. Like, that was really the motivation, was I need to get out of here. And I can do that on scholarship. And, you know, I had to decide what I wanted to go for. And for a minute there, I was like, oh, I want to go to school for music. But I didn't, you know, I hadn't been studying music since I was a child in a way that other people would. And I just didn't feel like I could compete. And so I just kind of let that slip away. And sometimes I wonder like, oh, if I had made that other decision to just audition for a school and gone to school for music, would I be in a different place? And the answer is of course, but it doesn't matter.
Right. I love that.
And yeah, but I always enjoyed cameras and video and photography. So I was like, maybe, you know, I'll try to do that. And ended up at Ithaca College, and here I am.
You mentioned your self-portraits earlier, and I would love to hear about how you imagine these characters that you capture in your self-portraits.
Well, I love that you use the word characters, because that's definitely what it is. People always ask me, you know, is this supposed to be you? Are these different parts of you? And I'm like, no, they're different characters. They have different names. Like, there's one up there. I don't remember what her name is, but
she's like gazing off wistfully with a yellow sweater on. And she's in this like deserted camper, and it's kind of dark.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's probably, I forget they can't see where we are.
Right.
I would say it usually starts with, it's either a costume or a location.
Hmm.
And I'm like, I would love to wear that. I would love to wear that, but that belongs somewhere. Or I find a place and I'm like, I need to do something with this. There's something cool going on here. And you know, I said earlier that I kind of have to force myself to do it nowadays, but there was a time where it was more organic, and it was just, you know, like I just kind of like had the idea. And if I was able to do it then and there, then I would, or I would, you know, wait till I was available to do it. But it starts with, a costume or a place. If it's a place, then I'll kind of maybe try coming up with a frame first.
Mm.
And then, you know, I'll go in my closet and kind of see what's available. And it's really such a flow thing, because I don't think about it. And that's why I love it, is I just don't think. I just let it happen, and I just don't care. Cause again, like I think it's so true that like, I'm not making money. Like, this is for nobody. I'm not making money off of it. Like, maybe someday if I make something for myself, people will like be like, yeah, we want these. But right now it's just totally for, I don't even know what it's for. It's for fun. But I just really like it.
So it's like for your own enjoyment.
It's for my own enjoyment. It's for my own enjoyment. Yeah. And I really like showing them to people. And Instagram is like really my only method of doing that. Up until recently, I had, you know, I was lucky to have a gallery show. But
oh, yes, I want to ask about that.
We'll hit on that. Yeah. But yeah, so it's just a super free-flowing thing. I don't have an idea about what the characters are going to be. But definitely once I kind of have the costume on and I am just like stepping in the frame, I have a 10-second timer that's going off. And sometimes I'll just like kind of stand there just for settings reason, just to make sure my exposure is good, to make sure that the focus is good.
Right.
And that I like where I'm like physically putting my person in the frame. But from there, you know, and then once everything's set is I just am having fun and I'm just fucking around. And it's awesome. And sometimes, you know, people tell me like, do you act these characters? And it ranges. Sometimes I'll just be standing there and the timer's going down. And in the last 2 seconds, the flash goes from like every second to like double time.
Uh-huh.
And then I'll like go into it. You know, I'll either like if the character's yelling, like sometimes I'll yell. If they're moving, like I'll just go into like kind of snap into them for like 2 seconds.
Sounds like your creation process for your self-portraits is almost like a performance in itself. Do you feel like these photos are performances in a way, or like do you not think of it that way? It's just an expression of something. And
I mean, I call it performed self-portraiture.
Oh, you actually do call it that? Okay.
Yeah.
So okay,
definitely,
cool.
Definitely a performance. Because it's not, it's like I'm using my person to create the character.
Right.
So, and yeah, and I've tried to I mean, some of them are more, like the one that you described earlier that's on the wall there, like that was what I think I was actually wearing that day and we had gotten the camper that day, but that's not how I was feeling that day, you know? So it's like sometimes they're more real than others. I have this one that I made recently of me. Hugo had a cone because she had just gotten her stomach tacked. And so, you know, she had this, and I was like, this just looks amazing. This massive dog with this cone. And I was taking her outside to go to the bathroom. And I was like, there's something here. Let's just pull the tripod out. And so what I'm trying to say with this is that some of them are more inspired by what's actually happening. Recently, that's kind of been the process. But other times, it's just really invented, made up stuff. And
yeah,
it's fun. It's like that little, the part of your brain that still wants to be a kid and explore and play is like just totally activated.
Yes.
I love it.
Imagination. I love that. Oh my gosh.
When fun turns into like more detail oriented thinking, where like once I have something that looks good, I find that through play, but then I will get really focused on like the tiniest little like it. I need to move my hand down like a quarter inch, you know, on my right thigh or whatever. Which I also love that too.
Yeah,
it's so fun. And that's the kind of thinking that I use when I'm doing production design, where you're literally, you have a frame and I will move a mug like 2 centimeters. Oh my God. In the music video that I just did, there's a tea bag and it's just sitting just a little bit lower than I wanted to. And it just annoys the fucking shit out of me.
Like it's still doing it and it's just in it now.
It's just in it. Oh. But my friend Spencer, who's a great editor, was he's like, I could probably move that up for you. And I was like,
really?
And that's like the best news I've had all week, you know.
Oh my gosh.
The tea bag is gonna be fixed. Like the little paper on the tea bag will no longer be in like the wrong spot.
Oh, that is so great. That's so funny.
So, and those details are so it's so fun.
Right. And it's not someone that any normal person would be like, that tea bag looks weird, but then if it's like perfectly there, it'll just feel better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, exactly. And people don't know. And that's the thing is like when someone's looking at something, like, and I think the self-portraits, they look nice. They just feel, there's something that feels good about them.
There's a lot of energy coming from them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. And it's because, I think it really is because I'm focusing so intimately on all the little things. So even though I am having fun and I'm like totally dicking around, like I'm also not.
Do you find that intimate focus that feels so good, like sometimes can turn into perfectionism that doesn't feel good? Or are you able to just keep it in that like flow state?
Yeah. Oh, that's a great question.
Or how do you keep it in the flow state?
I think too much perfectionism doesn't feel good. And if it doesn't feel good, I just am to a point where like I'll stop or walk away, or I don't know, I'll talk myself through it in some way or another and try to put it into perspective. It's there's a certain balance that you have to have with it and a certain relationship that you have to have with it. And I guess I've learned to identify what is splitting hairs and what isn't. And I actually think that that's what it is that perfectionism is a great tool to have, but yes, you can cross over where you're like, this just, it doesn't matter and it's not worth the time, you know? And so then when your time can be better spent elsewhere, I think is when you start to let go of like these things that just, that either you don't have control of, like, I can't control what the clouds are doing, you know? It's like, right. I'm not going to get upset because, oh, the shot's not working because the clouds are too off. It's like, okay, try it a different day or just wait. Or, you know, just there's a solution out of perfectionism and getting into those, you know, those things that drive you really crazy. And yeah, you can feel it in your eye. For me, I feel it in my body. I'm like, I feel terrible right now.
Right.
But when it's the good kind of perfectionism, you're like, no, I'm going to move this tea bag up like an inch and it's going to look fucking sick. You know, and you just, it's just undeniable, you know.
It's undeniable, the tea bag. Yeah, no, that's such a good way of putting it. And it's also such a productive way of like using perfectionism almost to your advantage. It's like, okay, when this is happening, like just take some space, or when this is happening, just take more time, or, yeah, you know,
yeah. And with self-portraiture, I can, you know, sometimes on set you can't because
right,
there's people waiting on you and all that. But with self-portraiture, I think that's why I like having it, and it would never be my exclusive thing because I love collaborating so much and I love so many different art forms. But I that's why I'll never stop doing it, and yeah, I really look forward to, you know, if I'm lucky to make it to like 60, 70, whatever, to have just like all these characters that have developed through the years. And like my body, I think I have a healthy relationship with like the fact that just my body's going to age and I'm going to get wrinkles and all that. Cause I'm like, ooh, what self-portraits, like what characters am I going to make then? Like I can look forward to it, you know? It definitely, it gives me a interesting relationship with myself where obviously I'm a part of it and I am it, but I'm also distanced from it.
Yes, you're the subject and the maker.
Yeah,
which is super interesting.
Yeah, that's such a good way of looking at it. Yeah, I think there's a balance that, you know, when I was thinking about, you asked me this question, like, what is the process? I think there's a balance of being able to dream about what you want to do. Oh, I could do this. I could do that with a song. You know, you're thinking about it or whatever it is, this photo shoot, I could do this. Mm-hmm. But then to actually sit down and get it done is almost like a different skill, but it's very much part of the process as well. And so while I think we all aim to have like a really organic experience, it's just sometimes it just doesn't happen that way, and that's okay. Like I have to do my self-portraits, I have to push myself to, now I do, I used to have so much fun with them, but now I just have to kind of like just give that initial push, and then it's really fun from there, but it's not always like as romantic as I think people think art is, you know.
Ooh, I love that. Yes, it's not always as romantic as people think it should be.
Yeah, and that's fine, and that's just like, I think if you can get down to that, you're just like set, you know.
Right, because a lot of it is just like the slog, like,
oh my gosh,
now I'm gonna put on this microphone and now I'm gonna put, or this lens, and now I'm gonna like choose the outfit of the photo shoot, and like that stuff is really hard.
I hate, yeah, and like the oh my gosh, like when I think of slog, I think of the like the editing programs. Oh my god,
yeah. Ugh. All of the editing programs.
I hate that shit. Like,
interesting.
I don't like sitting and like, I like having the skills, but to sit and to, I don't know, for me to sit through a YouTube video and have like some dude be like, "What's up? This is my channel, and you want to learn how to do this today?" And it's so many other. Like, there's so much information, and some, I don't know, I have a hard time teasing out information sometimes, and I like learning software just annoys the shit out of me sometimes.
I get that so much. I am having a very similar experience. Like, right now I'm recording this podcast, and I have this like physical, like an allergic reaction to having to run this audio program that I'm doing. And, yeah. And I just have to force myself because it's worth it. But it feels like so separate from the actual art.
Yeah.
Which is what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
But then it's necessary. Yeah.
But luckily, I think because I do video editing, and that's just, it's just, it almost becomes the art in its own way. So it's like this weird necessary evil where it's like I have a love-hate relationship with it, where it's like I don't like the act of sitting and I don't like looking at a screen, but you can, that's really where it all comes together, you know?
Yeah.
And so It's this, yeah, it's a weird relationship.
So you just had your, they just took it down, right? Like this week or last week?
Yeah.
It was a really recent show.
Yeah.
Can you explain like how that happened, how it felt?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's a great little side story here.
Cool.
And that's, I was doing a gig. This was, I don't know, at some point in college when I was just starting to, you know, freelance. And I met somebody there. And her name is Cameron Cohen, and she's an awesome, beautiful portrait photographer. But we just got to chatting, exchanged Instagram, whatever, did the shoot, got through it. And it's a good lesson for like, you never know what things are going to connect. Everything will lead to something else. And that connection that I made with her, like she was just kept up with my Instagram and hit me up through Instagram. I was like, hey, I've been keeping up with your stuff and I really like your self portraits. And we want to either have you submit something for a show, or do we maybe just want to give you your own show entirely? And I was like, what? Ben Bookout is the owner of the gallery that invited me to like start thinking about all these things. I was like, I have to like come up with a consistent idea to find the title of this show, which ended up being The Things We Share. And it was awesome. And I went down, I met with them, and you know, we looked at some of my stuff. It was really amazing to see. Well, first of all my worlds were colliding. I was like, here, family that I nanny, come to my show.
Ooh.
And then like my friends from this, like just a lot of people that I knew from different corners came to see, and a lot of people wanted to talk to me. But it was this interesting thing where not only am I playing all these different characters up on the wall, but then it's like I'm like seeing my personality shift to kind of bend. Like, I know you in a professional setting. I know you because I watch your kids or whatever.
Yeah.
And that was like kind of trippy and exhausting and, and cool in itself. But yeah, I felt so supported by my community and by my friends, and that people were actually engaging with the art. It was really cool. They were asking me questions, or they were trying to make their own connections through what was happening. And it felt great. It was an awesome, awesome experience.
That's so cool. You're doing photography and filmmaking and like whatever else you want to do, multimedia imaginations stuff.
Yeah.
Is there anything I'm missing? Like,
I've been getting into music, which I've been excited to talk to you
about,
you know, a fellow musician, and it's been such a great process and journey, and I'm excited to talk about that. So I moved into this house and TJ was already living here. The first 3 months of me living here, I was pretty much by myself because he was on tour. And then we spent like 2 months of living together, and then March hit and the pandemic was happening.
Oh, wow.
So what a crazy, I realize as time passes, what a crazy timeline that is to move in with somebody and that whole dynamic. Like, I love to sing around the house. I am a loud, roommate. When I'm really feeling comfortable, like, there's no shutting me up. But when TJ would be home, I would get, like, shy and nervous. And, like, next door, we all, like, we share this wall. And it was our friend Joey, who plays in Driftwood, and Jack, who plays in Calm Down, and he played in Big Mean. And I literally wouldn't sing. I wouldn't, when they were home, I was so nervous that they would think that I thought I was good. And I don't know, like, it was just this weird, such a weird dynamic that I had with myself of like, I don't want them to think that I think that I'm all that.
That's fair. Yeah. It's like a weird humble, like I want people to think I'm humble type of thing. I have that too, actually.
Yeah.
I don't know where that comes from at all.
That would be interesting to unpack, because it's like, what's shame in, like, if you are talented at something,
right?
What's the shame in knowing that you are doing something well, if you are? I remember I was like, Lilac, you need to just get over yourself. You are not going to like go this entire lockdown without like singing. You're going to go crazy if you know, you just can't be quiet. And so really, really slowly, I just started doing it more around the house, and TJ, you know, took it, you know, obviously was interested because he loves me and is a musician. And I remember my mom called me like before the pandemic, and she's like, Lilac, she's like, has TJ ever heard you sing? And I'm like, no, I haven't really played for him. She's like, oh, Lilac, I think that is very rude.
That's so cute.
Like, I guess. Yeah. And, you know, like he was like, oh, we should do a cover of a song. And then we got Joey involved. And I think like getting over, like having them to be such forces of encouragement to like record something and then to post it to social media is, you know, was the only form of performing for people at the time. And
right.
So I don't know. It was just cool. And so I just kind of like, again, surrender. It comes back to surrender. I just kind of surrendered to it. And I was like, okay, like, yeah, am I a perfect singer? No, like right now, am I? No, I don't, you know, but do I enjoy it? I really enjoy it. You know, there's is a natural ability there. And it was, I wanted to get over that fear. You have to want to change to change.
Yeah.
And yeah, you have to like not give fucks about things. There's a balance with that. And yeah, I'm still learning it.
Did you feel really weird about it while you were singing, but you were like, I'm just going to push through? Yeah.
Yeah, kind of. And I mean, yeah, that's kind of it. Is like when you're in the moment and you're doing something and you're like, ah, this feels weird. You do have to push through it.
Right. Because you know you want to get past it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I felt that with, you know, even being on stage and taking certain photos of people where I'm like, okay, I might be uncomfortable putting myself in certain places, but the band is okay with it. The audience doesn't care. Really, it's only me being like, oh, I'm in the way here, when really I'm not. And you just have to like twist your own arm sometimes.
Yeah. I love that. Really, it's only me.
Yeah.
It's only me thinking these things, and I don't need to.
If I can get over how shy I was with singing and performance and all that, like, I'm literally convinced that anybody can. If I can get over it, anybody can. It was so bad. I used to be so nervous. I'm going to release a single next month at some time. Yeah.
No way.
It's going to be, I'm excited. It's been a minute since it's been done. And then I was like, well, I have a song. I know how to make music videos. Let me just combine the two. And it's, classic. I think that's why I like it so much, is because when I'm writing music, there's like the individual part, and then as you know, the pieces grow, and I haven't finished, like, there's so many unfinished things that, like, pieces, but it's just an opportunity to really combine everything I like to do. You know, it's like I can write the song.
No, that is awesome. You don't have to hire out. Like, you can just be the person.
It's cool to find something that I don't feel like I'm losing any, like, I feel like I'm my full creative self with this. Like, sometimes when I'm doing photo, you know, I mean, I love it as well, and it's fulfilling in a lot of ways, but really when I'm like thinking about music, I'm like, oh, well, I could have a photo to, you know, put with this song, or I could do like so many projects through the song. And I mean, that just comes from, you know, working with clients like such as you. Like, you came to me with a song and and, you know, we made a music video for it. And so I think music is like the base of all the other creative things, at least in my kind of, in my world, in the world that I'm in. And so I love that I'm doing it. And that's why I'm so jazzed up about it, I think.
Oh my gosh. That is so amazing. I'm so excited to hear this song.
Dude, like, I'm excited to put it out. I don't want to overhype or overexcite anybody, but okay.
I'm excited.
I'm excited too. It'll be cool to kind of, put that out and to expand creatively and you know, in my little network of things.
Yeah. So did you record it at home, or did you record it in a studio?
No, I did not record it in a studio at all. It's so opposite. So the song is called Here With Me. And this was when TJ, I think this was the first summer we were like actually together, like for real together. And he was on tour, and I was just writing in my journal, you know, I want you here with me, blah, blah, blah. But I think I just pulled out my guitar. You know, I've loved to just like putz around on the guitar. It's just like a nice calming thing. And I just kind of started making a little melody and reading the journal. And, but I couldn't get through it. I started crying. I had it filmed and I just started crying. I just couldn't get through it. And I was like, wow, this is a crazy emotional experience right now. And it was so cool. And, I was like, okay, there's something here. Like, I should finish this someday. And I could never finish it because I was always so shy to sing that I would only sing when TJ was on tour. And when he was on tour, I was too emotional to finish the song. So it was just this endless like circle of just not, you know. But after, you know, being together 24/7, right. I was like, it's time.
Yeah, you gotta do it. Yeah.
You just had to do it. I was able to approach it, you know, from, I don't know, like a different place. And I think it was like 4 a.m. I was like a little bit drunk. And I was just like recording just what I had. And it just was flowing supernaturally. And that's what was super cool with it. And, you know, like I was I was playing it back and I was like coming up with hums and I was like, let me just record that. And those are the hums that are, you know, in the actual recording.
Oh, wow. That's so great.
It was such a cool process. And as I've tried to, you know, as I've been writing and trying to finish other songs, the process has not been that organic, but yeah. And then I, you know, I was like, oh, these are just going to be some scratch vocals, whatever. I'll just try to perform it better, you know, when I'm not drunk at 4 a.m. and I just couldn't get the same emotion. So we ended up just keeping like, wow. I mean, my friend Sam Stein did the mix and he's amazing. But we just ended up keeping those vocals. I was like, yeah, I kind of want it to sound like a little bit not perfect. I should say I brought it to TJ too. It was a really special moment showing him that song. And I remember, like, I recorded it that night, and then I was like, I have to show you something. We were driving, probably, like, to get coffee. That's how we kind of, like, coped with not being able to go anywhere. And I was like, this is the saddest song I've ever heard. And I just, like, played it for him, and I was, like, crying a little bit. And he was like, damn, son, like, you should finish this. This is, like, I want to work on this with you.
Aww.
And he, you know, elevated it musically, and...
That's amazing. And yeah,
sorry, that was like really long-winded way of answering the question.
It's really cool because for me, like, it's always so emotional, like when it's good.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
I forget that's the whole point, mm-hmm. is like that it's emotional and that's, you're expressing something. And I'm just, it's just really good to be reminded of that purpose.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And I think like having that type of organic process is my goal every time. That's what I want to have happen every time. And even if it doesn't happen every time, at least like knowing that that exists is really helpful. And like remembering that that exists is super helpful for me. So I'm really interested in like how people manage their mental health and like manage is the wrong word. Make friends with is a better way of putting it. Because that's something I've been like working on for a while. So I'm very curious how that ties into your daily life and also your art.
I think mental health is the base of everything that you're going to do, no matter what field you're in. If you want to have a good life, you need to have your mental health in check and you need to have a relationship with it. I have been doing therapy for a year. I want to say, I think I should celebrate that.
Yeah.
A year anniversary.
That's huge.
I love to celebrate. I just love to like go out for dinner. I'm like, TJ, we should celebrate that. Like I will do anything.
I love
I
that.
I have so many, I just make up excuses, but.
No, that's great though. Yeah. You got to celebrate. Yeah. Yeah. 1 year of therapy is amazing. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Do you have things that aren't therapy, but that feel therapeutic that you do often?
Definitely. Journaling, I would say, is the number one thing that I do for myself. I've been journaling since I was a teenager, and it's always been the best way for me to process. I mean, I also, as you can probably tell from this episode, like I am very much a talker as well. But ultimately, like just sitting down and writing out my thoughts and being able to look back on things. Like, I think that's why I love it so much. Like, yeah, like being able to, you know, look at, you know, what I was writing about 6 months ago and kind of where I was at. It really helps me notice progress. And yeah, it just has this really calming effect on me and I know some people say it like doesn't work for them, but I think it probably must work for everybody just because it works so well for me. I can't imagine it not working for someone else. But
that's great.
I'm open to that.
That's really funny. So it's like a way to just like feel calm in your body, or is it a way also to just like figure stuff out, or is it both?
I think it's both. It's definitely both. And it's a way too to just get it out. And which is so important because, you know, I don't know, it's very easy for me for my thoughts to feel like thoughts on top of thoughts. And then there's like a little song in the background. There's just like a lot of clutter.
Yes.
Yes. So that, I mean, meditation too, I'll throw that in there to like,
right.
You know, just to also have some separation from your thoughts, I think is an essential practice for me. And again, I it's not like I remember to do it every day. I don't remember that's in the toolbox all the time. But in times in my life where I am writing regularly and meditating regularly, I'm the most stable.
Yeah. So that was my other question is like, goal is the wrong word, but like, what's the mission with your mental health? Or like, it's not even the right way to say it even. What relationship are you trying to have with it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I think I learn more and more as I heal more and more what a good relationship with my mind looks like, and with my body too, because I've been learning that it's not just the mind, and that the body actually controls the mind. People think the mind controls the body, and it's the other way around, because your nervous system remembers everything. And this is my therapist, Mirjana DeRozan, is amazing. She's amazing. I love her. I love her. I love her. And I mean,
shout out to all the therapists out there.
Yeah. Yeah. And what they do for us.
For sure.
But she is, I mean, really, I credit her for a lot of what, like, the mind body work that we've been doing has just been incredible. And it's just like rewired my brain and helped me, like, analyze what is happening, not through a verbal method, I guess, is I could say, but through,
yeah,
you know, like, we'll do these sessions where we're like for me, I experience it as like I'm like swimming in my subconscious, and you can feel certain things when you're thinking about, you know, she'll prompt you, like, think about this certain thing. Okay, this other thing is coming up. What are you feeling? Okay, I'm feeling confident. Okay, well, now that I'm actually sitting in this confidence and I'm feeling confident, I am feeling doubt as well. It's coming up and it's getting stronger. And so it's just like, that is, I would say, I would definitely add that in like my essential practices. I don't do it every day because I need her guidance still. But it has been a complete game changer in my life, and it works just super, super well for me. Because I think when you can talk, but it's still happening on a more superficial level. And I don't mean superficial in like the way that word is used in like pop culture, but as opposed to like really getting deep in and getting into your subconscious and getting into really your emotions.
Yeah.
There's so many layers to it. And it's just crazy once you start diving in.
Seriously.
Yeah.
It's that, like, I have had a very similar experience actually this year. I've started doing a very similar somatic experiencing thing, and it has helped me so much.
Mm.
Like, because, yeah, it's true. Like, there's only so much you can analyze something, and that's not helpful on that deeper level. It is if you do it enough, but there's this like body thing that you have to be feeling and like noticing.
Yeah.
That's always happening. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing. And in this practice, she'll say, okay, like when you start to feel like using the confidence, mm-hmm. when this doubt is creeping in, like notice what is happening in your body. I'm like, oh, my shoulders are starting to curl in.
Mm.
And then you correct your shoulders, and then you're like, okay, that then I feel better now. That doubt is kind of going away, because we'll have experiences happen to us and it'll affect our body in some way. We'll react physically, right? And then that motion is associated with that feeling. And so if you can kind of work through those things, I mean, it's just incredible. And I'm just scratching the surface with all these things, but I just cannot wait to like keep, you know, digging and exploring and learning and becoming the master of my own, you know, perception and reality. And
oh, yes, that is so cool.
Yeah, it's fucking sick.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
It's awesome. When it's awesome, it's awesome. Like,
when it's awesome, it's awesome. Right. I'm sure it's like really hard a lot of the time too to go down in there and figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
But yeah, like it sounds so useful.
Yeah. I mean, I cannot recommend therapy enough to like everybody. People will just talk to me about something minor and I'm like, sounds like you need therapy. Like, I'm just such a
pro. I mean, therapy. Honestly, yeah. Like, I feel like just my mindset is like, everyone, if you can access therapy, like, it's definitely helpful for everyone. That's my not that I am not a mental, just side note, I'm not a mental health practitioner.
Yeah.
I'm just speaking from my own experience, but yeah. How have you developed this trust in yourself to work on your mental health and to put out all this amazing art?
This goes back to therapy. That like therapy has helped me kind of access, I don't know if that's what I'm trying to say. I think when it comes to trust, you just have to kind of try it out and see what happens. I mean, sometimes you just don't really have an option. You know, there's a moment that, I don't know, if you're photographing something or if I'm, you know, at a concert for everything's happening in real time, and you don't have an option but to kind of just go with it. And you can either choose to trust yourself and have it really be helpful, or you can doubt yourself and hate your life throughout the process, you know. Yeah. But it's really, it's like an option, and you know, you just have to kind of decide to trust, and then the rest will just kind of follow. Hmm. Is what I'm learning.
There's so much freedom in knowing that it's an option.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And, you know, I recently discovered the same thing about fear. I'm like, this is an option. And this is not, like, we treat fear as like they're facts in our mind.
Yes.
And it's just not true. And it's an option. And you, when there's, you know, you can always choose the counter option, which is, you know, to be confident, or to not be fearful, or to be loving, or whatever it is. So yeah, just making like choosing and making the decision to trust is, I think, really where it comes from.
Yeah. That's pretty life-changing, like, to think about it like that. In order to make that decision, you have to have the space to be like, oh, this is a decision.
Yes, you have to realize that first. Well, that, right, yeah, right. And that's why it's like this crazy,
right,
you know, you could run around in circles with it.
But you've been working on that, creating that space, so that's, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Hmm. But I also think too that I don't know, when it comes to, you know, I guess maybe hitting on like why I choose to create, or why I'm choosing to try to do this as my career, you know, that I don't really think I have an option. You know, like I grew up, like I mentioned earlier, like we were just, you know, there wasn't a lot of financial stability. And for me as an adult who finally has control over her life, to not try to succeed in something I enjoy, it just seems like a total waste of time. And there's this lie that growing up in poverty will tell you that it's like you have to do what you have to do, and that's absolutely true, but it's also not. I feel like that kind of thinking will keep you in like this minimum wage job for years, because you're convinced that like that's what you have to do, and it's just this like the period is there, and it just doesn't allow for, you know, creative thinking outside of that. Okay, like how can I make money to, you know, afford my rent or whatever, doing something that I like, because there's always a solution. Right. If you can think of it, there's a solution to it. And it's just, and it goes back to what I'm saying, where like really the mind is the key to everything, because if you imagine that like this is what I need to do and there's no other option and solution, then that's your reality, you know. But, you know, poverty is a fucked up thing, and it just teaches you a lot of bad lessons, and it I don't know, it's very controlling, and it just sucks a lot of people back in when they grow up that way. They just get sucked in that way, because it's just a certain type of thinking that you're born into and that you will keep until you find a way to break out of it, you know?
Right. Yeah.
I don't want to make settling an option, I suppose.
Yes. You have this like trust in yourself that you can make it work doing something that you actually like.
Mm-hmm.
And if you believe that you can't do something you actually like, or you have to do something boring, that's like really limiting.
Yeah.
Is that kind of?
Yeah. No, that is a good way of kind of summing up what I was saying. Reeling
it in. You said it much better, but part of my goal with this podcast is to like communicate like how much on the ground work it takes to create this art and like put it out there and do mm-hmm. the editing and learn the software and spend the money on the software mm-hmm. and all these things. Mm-hmm. So I want people to have that takeaway of like, okay, this really does take a lot of work and time and effort and energy and money. I don't know anything about photography pretty much. And the only thing I know about filmmaking is what I learned through you when you did my music video. Oh, cool. Like I didn't know what coloring was.
Yeah.
I didn't understand what video editing was. And just watching you do it and seeing the different revisions that you were doing, like I kind of learned a little bit. But yeah, can you give us a sense of what goes into creating a finished product?
Yeah. So there's this whole, you know, there's a whole process of, I guess it's just different for every, I don't know, just for every, I mean, for freelancers, I'm sure it's going to vary. People who are working in the industry probably have a more generalized flow of things. But, you know, you have to transfer everything from the SD card to a hard drive or to your computer or wherever you're working it from. You have to make proxies, which are lower resolution clips of your nice, beautiful footage. And that shit takes time.
Yeah.
And what else is there? I mean, there's so many pieces. You know, you have to review everything. That's like, I don't think people realize how much time editing takes is because you have to either scrub through, but sometimes you just have to sit and you just have to watch it all in real time. And so it's like, right. if the shoot was 2 hours, you're spending way more than 2 hours in the edit because you have to, you know, you have to sit through and experience it how someone's going to experience it for the first time. And so right. it's a lot of rewatching. It's a lot of stepping away to come back to, with, you know, with fresh eyes. And, you know, once you have everything locked, you know, the coloring thing is I am not a pro colorist at all, but that is a whole world.
Except you are, though. You are a pro.
I've just started,
and you get paid for it.
Yeah,
I guess. I know what you're saying.
It's not like specifically like it's not like if coloring is like the
there's
only
like a specific
thing.
Colorist.
Oh my
job.
Gosh, yeah, and you can make $1,000 a day being a colorist.
This. Okay. Okay.
It's, oh my gosh, yeah, all these jobs are specialized, and so because I'm a freelancer and just the scale that I'm working at, it's just I have all these hats that I wear.
Right.
But I mean, you know, usually there's assistance to the editors and multiple editors in some projects.
Right.
And it's a whole, you know, and then even there's, you know, if sound's an element, you have somebody editing sound, and it, within sound, you have somebody taking out all the like that you hear, and then you have somebody right. adding all the effect. Like, there's just so many layers to every part of the process that it all comes together, and you know, and then people watch it on their phones, you know.
right.
The kicker, you know.
So
it's a bit rambly, and it's. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm rambling a bit.
No. It was too big of a question. And I just like I. But this is super helpful just to hear about. Like, it's kind of infinite the amount of things.
Yeah, I mean, it really can be.
Yeah,
it can be as infinite or as not infinite as you choose it to be. And you need, you know, if you have people that are down to do those jobs, then that's awesome.
So you really take on a lot of roles when you take on a. Project like a music video like you did for me.
Yes, I would definitely say I've dabbled in a lot of things, which is cool. I think one of the questions I saw on the piece of paper was like, what would you recommend to young artists?
Oh yes.
And like that is what I would recommend, is just dabble with all the things, especially if you're going into school for film or photography like I did, is like, don't get locked into one role and you'll be more valuable. You know, I remember people saying you have to specialize, you have to pick one thing. And now right. I'm like, I am a valuable person to hire because I can do photo and because I can do video. And it just worked out that way, you know. And yeah, I don't know if that makes any sense.
It makes complete sense. Yeah. And it's very contradictory to some viewpoints, which is like, you have to focus, you have to be a master at this one thing.
Yeah.
So it's really cool to hear you say that.
Yeah, I know. I think about that often. Like master, what is it? Jack of all trades, master of
right,
none.
Right.
I say, I don't care because it's more fun.
It's actually more valuable, like in terms of financial compensation and like quality of work. And that makes complete sense to me.
Yeah. You know, and it's like, if you want to hire me to come on tour with you, then you get, you know, you don't have to hire a videographer separate from that because I can do both. And in times it's going to be valuable to have, you know. Because you can't get somebody like jumping over the crowd on photo and video at the same time. At least I can't with my camera. and so, you know, it'll be valuable. But I just think it's turned out to be such a huge asset to have those skills and to be able to even edit. You know,
right.
But
hell yeah.
So we'll see where it takes me.
Hell yeah, that's fucking awesome, dude. You're killing it.
Yeah. I will say.
Yeah.
You made me think of what am I trying to say? doing the music video that I made for this song that I have coming out really drove it home. Whatever the expression is, nail in the coffin. That I don't want to work on projects where I'm stretched so thin. I want to, like, I figured out, I'm like, okay, I really like to direct and I love putting teams together and I love just keeping things going, you know, and thinking about characters and mindset and all of that. Like, I like to work with, I mean, I was the actor in mine, so it was a little bit different, but
right.
I love just putting the trust of a certain element in someone else's hands. Like, okay, you're the lighting person, you know, we're all going to communicate together, but ultimately it's your expertise that's going to bring it there. And it is when I was telling you, like, I want to talk about collaboration. Like, collaboration is just the most amazing thing. And I love it. And I love it. I love it. And so moving forward with music videos, it's I want it to just exclusively be teams and you know, probably start with the team that I worked on here with me with, because it was just all my friends from school and they were down. Aww. And they're also, I was like, we are professionals. I was like, wait, we could do this. We can do this.
Right.
We can make this our job.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what's in the works right now.
I really love that, like, thinking about it as trusting other people, because that's hard to do for a lot of creatives, like me included. It's sometimes hard to trust people, but it feels so good when you actually do it.
Yeah, it feels amazing.
Yes. Do you feel like you're building this creative life for yourself? Or do you feel like it's for yourself and for the world or society? Is there any overlap, I guess?
That's a good question. I feel like right now it is for myself, but I think about images a lot, and I think about the impact that they have. Hugo's sorry, trying to sit on really Sienna's lap. Funny. This is hilarious.
Oh my God, this is the cutest thing I've ever seen. You have to. This is, grab it. Go. Oh my God. Hi, baby.
This is going to be the Instagram post.
This is the best moment of my entire life. Hi, honey. Oh my god,
she's the sweetest. I'm very lucky to have her in my life.
I know, the fact that she just like put her leg up and then put the other leg up was just like so sweet.
I love it when she just sits with people she just met too. It's so sweet.
I am obsessed. Okay, yeah, sorry. This was very distracting.
So how do I...
How...
What is this creative life? Like, who is this
for? Who is it for? Does it matter who it's for, I guess, is another question, but...
Yeah. I don't know that it matters. I think I have to... You know, if you're not happy, if I'm not happy, nobody's gonna benefit from anything, you know? Mm. And it's like, if I don't have my mind in order, nothing's getting done.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of been my philosophy with things. It's like, get, you know, figure yourself out, get yourself in a good place, and then you can start to, you know, if you want to help other people or make meaning of things, whatever it is. But I definitely think about, you know, if I can make a music video or whatever project it is to make people think, like, that's cool to me. And I want to do that. And that's how I felt when I had the show at The Rest. I'm now remembering what I was trying to say earlier. It was called The Things We Share, and it was about emotion and how, like, all the characters, for some reason, and this is nothing that I thought about, they all, like, they're, none of them are smiling. They all look like they're kind of like going through some shit. Mm. And you know, that was just, I was like, this is great. Let's just use that as the anchor point for the show. And that is what we all share, is that you don't know how someone's really feeling, and you don't know what people are going through. You know, like, I don't know what your morning's been like. You know, you could have had, maybe you had a really hard conversation with someone on the phone before you know, like, I have no idea.
Right.
And I think we just like walk into situations and we're like, we just write people off. Oh, that person's an asshole. She's a bitch, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, we just say, like, we believe these hurtful things about each other when really you have no goddamn idea. And it's a good philosophy to live by. It makes me way more peaceful, you know, because I don't know. I know some people that take things really, really personally, very easily. And it's 9 times out of 10, it's not personal at all, you know?
Right. I mean, I fall into that trap a lot, taking things personally. And I'm working on not. Because I know it's almost never personal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's usually what somebody else is going through. Right. You know, like, if I'm like, yesterday I was cramping like a motherfucker. Oh my God. And so I kind of like, I was nannying. Uh-huh. I nanny on the side of, you know, all the freelance stuff that I do.
Yeah.
And I just kind of had to like rush out of the house. And so, you know, to them, like, I don't know what it looked like. Maybe it looked like I had a bad day or
right.
whatever, but it's literally not about them. It's just that my body was in pain and I had to get out of there, you know?
Right. Yeah.
So a little life lesson there, but.
I think that's so important, like seeing art as that communicator of things we might not be sharing,
mm-hmm.
or to give a context
yeah.
for like what we actually do see.
Yeah.
On the surface.
Yeah. I mean, that's so cool. And, you know, music is the same way. It's that you learn what someone's thinking in there. Like, what is, you know, especially if someone's a lyricist, a singer, songwriter.
Yes.
It's not like super romanticized, but it's also like, I just wonder sometimes, like, do people think I just sit around and do nothing?
Well, okay, but that's the whole point of this podcast is that I want, that's because that's what people think I do. They think that I sit around and do nothing. And the reason I know that is because whenever I go home for Christmas or whatever, or family vacations, people are like, so what do you actually do all day? And I'm like, and I don't have an answer because it's always so different.
Yeah,
and then I just clam up and I feel like a complete idiot.
Yeah.
And they still think I do nothing all day, but I don't. I'm working so fucking hard every single day. Like,
yeah.
But it's so hard to explain to people what you actually
it's not,
do.
It's not a short conversation.
It's really
it's
not.
A short conversation, and especially people who aren't who are, you know, not in touch with that version
exactly.
of reality or what that can be.
Yes.
They, you know, it's just it's conceptually challenging, you know,
it's,
at least in my experiences, you know, for that. And I mean, you know what my friend said is, if you love what you do, you'll never not work 24/7. And in a way, it is so true. And I want to find more balance with being able to put things away, but I'm still thinking about things.
You'll never, wait, I'm just finally processing that. You'll never not work
24/7.
Right, you're still thinking about it all the time.
Yeah, and I mean, and then, you know, it's like some things feel like work, some things don't feel like work, some things are, some things aren't. But again, like I was saying earlier, since it's all, there's like little separation for me personally with like my life and then what I do. It's tough. I'm still figuring that piece out too, you know, because there is again that push and pull between I know I should do this, I have responsibilities, but
right.
I kind of want to do this. Why do I want to do it? Do I need to do it? Am I tired? Maybe I just need to sleep in for another hour, you
right.
know? It can be tricky to feel like I'm not working 24/7.
Yeah, I feel that too. Like, it's really hard for me to unplug because I'm just my work. Like, I am just the embodiment of what I'm doing.
Yeah.
When what I'm doing is genuine.
Yeah.
And so I'm just, yeah, I'm always with myself.
Which is, yeah. I mean, I guess for me, it's maybe a little bit different because I have the hard work that I do, which is, you know, concert or event photography or videography.
Right.
And
right.
so I've been able to kind of put that in a box and be like, okay, that's what I do for hire. My self-portraiture, I don't feel like it's work. You know, even when I was, I mean, it took work and effort to put it into the gallery, but it didn't feel like a for hire, you know, and it wasn't. I'm trying to get more in the sense of like, okay, clock in, you need to finish this edit for this client. You're just going to clock in, even though it's your own house, like where you do your other creative stuff. And, but just like, just clock in for however long. And then you're like, you know, in at work.
I think what's hard for me is like not getting burnt out from all the other stuff.
Oh, burnout.
On top of that.
Yeah. Burnout is such a, it's such a thing. And I think you really have to be able to check in with yourself and say, like, I sense myself. And this is all trial and error, too, for me.
Right.
Like, I sense myself starting to get tired. I need to take a whole day off, you know, where I'm not thinking about this stuff. Like, maybe for me, it's hard. I'm like, what do I do? And I'm not, because it's still fun. You know, I'm like, how do I have fun not making music? I mean, music doesn't feel like work to me. I think that's why I really enjoy it. And
right.
I haven't been like scarred yet or like it's still like, ah, this is so fun and magical and like this process is new, la la la. Like,
yeah, for sure.
But it's like, it's taking photos is fun. I like that I can be hired to work these jobs and it's fun to do that. It is also work. And it's like finding different methods of fun, you know, that are completely unrelated to what you're doing, I think is essential for not like not burning out.
Thank you so much for your time and for your work.
Thank you.
And for your honesty. I really appreciate you a lot.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I've been so excited to chat with you and I don't get to chat about my process a lot. So thank you for giving me an outlet to do so. And I hope people get something out of this and yeah, thanks for being the facilitator of you know, being in between the artist and people who want in on the process.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, it was fascinating for me to hear about it, so I'm sure that other people are going to get a lot out of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yay. All right.
guess I'll stop recording now.
Hugo, want to say bye?
Say bye, Hugo. Come here, baby.
That was Hugo saying bye. All right, we out.
Thank you so much for listening. Your support really makes these conversations possible. If you want to hear more episodes like this, don't forget to leave a review, share this episode with a friend or family member, and join me on Patreon at patreon.com/siennaprocess for exclusive content. That's S-I-E-N-A process. To check out Lilac's work, go to lilacmilk.com or follow her on Instagram using the link in the show notes. The Process is presented by Rochester Brewcast. This podcast is produced, edited, and mixed by Sienna Facciolo. Our theme music is written and performed by Sienna Facciolo, Chris Palace, and Jordan Rabinowitz, featuring Sally Louise on guitar. Mixed by Chris Palace, mastered by Jet Galindo. See you next month. Sending hugs and so much love to you.